Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, in whatever situation, whatever trial, whatever doctor prognosis, whatever it is, we believe and stand on that the Lord is more than enough, my friend. The Lord is more than enough. Well, it is Thursday morning, so Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm still filled with the gratitude. Good to be here with the Thursday bunch. It feels like it's been a while. Still missing Miss Renee, but it's good to see Greg.
In the new year, I think she's going to be able to come back with us in the new year. Brother Greg, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Brother Aaron. So we get to see her next year, huh?
I think so.
All right, then.
Going to be a wet day today. A little bit warmer, though. It's going to be a little bit warmer, then it's going to crash out a little bit.
It almost felt like spring yesterday. It was
a beautiful day.
It was a lot less chilly.
Yep. Chilly, huh?
Yeah, a lot less chilly.
It's going to be some rain, high of 58 and a low of 25, and then tomorrow's back in the 30s. But then next week's going to be pretty much consistently 50s. If you were praying and hopeful for a white Christmas, that is probably not going to happen. All things are possible. All things are possible, let me say that. But it looks like Christmas Eve is going to be 54 and Christmas Day is going to be 59. So it's going to be a little bit warmer. And then next Friday is going to be 61. So got a warm week coming up. And still going to be Christmas, though. Still going to be Christmas. You can just do Christmas in shorts.
So does that mean we need to start singing that song about white? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Sounds like
that's about I'm praying
it's only, it's
for
only gonna happen
a white
in our dreams.
Christmas. Something where it's not feeling tropical on the day.
There was one. We went to the caroling at the nursing homes and to visit with them the time that we went last Christmas. We didn't have that song prepared, and one of them requested it. So we did it for them, and they were so sweet. They were like, it's okay, we'll sing it together. So we just all sang it together, even though we didn't prepare for it.
Yeah, a lot of those songs, though, you just, whether you think you know them or not,
you just need
the lyrics sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, it's good. Well, we've got a lot of great announcements coming up here. December 20th at Kingdom First is a distribution for Christmas meals and winter supplies. Alongside their 29th, they'll be having a women's service there, Anointed and Appointed. It's going to be a great night there at Kingdom First for the ladies. That is 6 o'clock p.m. Monday, December the 29th. And then go ahead and put on your calendar January 21st and 22nd. The 21st will be Brother Lance will be here with us on a Wednesday night. Everybody's welcome to come out that one. Then the next night, we got a men's night. We're going to do a men's gathering. All men are welcome. We're going to eat food around 6 o'clock, and then we're going to go over there and worship, and Brother Lance is going to be sticking around for another night. And so we'll have back-to-back nights. First one's everybody. Second one, we're going to really get targeted to the men out there. So that'll begin, again, be the January 21st and 22nd. Men, come on out the 22nd. We got a great night ahead of us. We're hopeful that men from all locations, all churches come together, and it's just a time we can come together and worship as a group of men and be challenged by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So that's January 22nd. And then we're in the book of Acts.
I got an announcement.
Absolutely.
So, the men's meetings you're having, we're having one tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Clarkson Community Church. And we're inviting all men, it don't matter, just come. We're just trying to pour out, a lot of men, they are taught all their life how they got to just kind of hold things together and deal with it and roll on and just kind of bury stuff, And what we're trying to do is break that bondage in men. And what we're trying to do is bring all the men together and just show them that the love of Christ among their brothers, where, yeah, we all come together, but then when a spirit works on us, he can realize, you know, make us realize that we're here for each other. And maybe they can go back to wherever they are and then let brothers lean on brothers and then spread that where they're at. You understand what I'm saying? So it's my brother's keeper is what they've called this thing. I think there's a Facebook page and everything about it, my brother's keeper. But it ain't about anybody. It's all about the Lord and all about, you know, being a man of God and teaching other men to be men of God and letting them know, you know, that that you're for them, that you're not against, you know, and it's lifting your brothers up and it's being there for one another. I'll be speaking. I'll be giving a testimony tomorrow at 6. Well, there's like a soup. It's a gathering, and you know, so we're going to eat, fellowship, and then I'm going to give a testimony later that night. But just come on out and you know, fellowship, bring friends. You know, like I said, this is there's no formal setting or anything like that. We're coming to fellowship, and I'm just gonna pour out what the Lord's poured into me, and hopefully somebody can get something out of it and get closer to the Lord and help their brother, you know. So yeah.
Amen. So again, that's tomorrow night at Clark's Community there at 6:00 p.m.
Yeah.
All righty. Man, you heard it. Go out and join there. Clark's Community is right there if you pass
right between the natural gas or the propane place and what used to be the feed store or the feed plant. Yeah. You know, it's right
almost
there.
Across the road from the beehive right there.
Yeah, just past mm-hmm. the beehive, right.
Yeah, so pretty easy to find, men. 6:00 p.m. there at Clarkson Community in Clarkson, Kentucky. We are in Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Almost done with three chapters. Actually going pretty quick. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you, and it shall be to that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him first to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." He's reminding us of the prophecy that there's coming one, and that if you listen to him, he's here, the servant's here to turn you from your wickedness. And chapter 4, verse 1, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and they were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." We told you we'd get there, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priest and the captain of the temple, they were greatly annoyed. See, they were very sad, you see, because they were preaching Jesus. And they weren't just preaching Jesus. They was preaching Jesus has resurrected from the dead. They did not want this being taught, especially in the temple. And they're annoyed. They're annoyed because of what they're teaching. And then the teaching's also being coupled by this extraordinary act of healing and wholeness and strength coming to this guy's never walked before. The captain of the temple, the Sadducees, the priests, they got a pretty good little job on their hand to try to figure this one out. Because this religious system, they try to take out Jesus. That failed. Now they're going to try to figure out a way to suppress the apostles. They're annoyed. And you got to remember, it's still a lot of them that keep coming against Paul and Peter and them throughout the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. Yes, there's the Judaizers as well. Yes, there is Alexander the Coppersmith. Yes, there's others that suppress them too. But really until AD 70, these priests hang out in a lot of different ways. And the system continuously wants to suppress and shut up because it annoys them. Whenever God truly moves in somebody's life, and it's like God moves in a miracle or God does something amazing, people rejoice, but whether you want to admit or not, you see the religious crowd, they kind of get annoyed. Or somebody has exuberant praise or teaching something that's convicting, and instead of responding in repentance and responding to that call to repentance, they are sitting back annoyed, mad, angry, nose up in the air. Some of that self-righteousness, some of it is that offense to the wickedness that's in their own heart, and they're not wanting to receive the call to repentance. And so there's a lot that transpires in those moments for those stuck in the religiosity and those religious crowd and those religious system. But here it really does stress they were greatly annoyed because of the teaching that was going forth.
I looked at some other translations, and King James says grieved, right?
Mm-hmm.
But NLT says disturbed. I feel like that, I mean, they all kind of are synonyms, but it does, it's like it disturbed their, it messed up what they wanted.
Messed up their flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's always, the Holy Spirit is a God of order, absolutely, and decency. So chaos is not necessarily the Lord's and is moving, but here, religiosity and the religious system, it likes reciprocal type things, like redundant, like, because it likes control. That's what I've found a lot about that religious system, is they like comfortable and they like redundancy. They like repetition. They like doing everything the same way because it gives them a level of control over what's happening. And the move of the Spirit sometimes, well, actually, the move of the Spirit is not controllable. Like, you have to learn to be discerning and to walk and to flow with the Holy Spirit. And this religious crowd is annoyed by real teaching. It's annoyed by the guy getting up and walking. It's annoyed when people are healed. It's annoying when people's flocking to them to see, because for one, there's jealousy and envy and coveting, but also there's this, they're breaking the flow. They're breaking this. The temple is being disturbed. And,
you know, I got a question on this. So on 25, you are the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, having raised up his son, send him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So I wonder if, well, actually we know it didn't, because he said all kindreds, but I don't think even Peter right now understood the magnitude of it in Acts, because it wasn't until some time that they found out, you know, like they were shocked that the Gentiles were being filled. You know, that I don't know when that was or when that took place, but it's like, well, even the Gentiles, like whenever Peter, God gave Peter that vision of the, was it the blanket come down and all the beasts was on there, and then, you know, and then he went to go talk to a Gentile, and that happened after this. Is that correct? Yeah. So, even right now, I don't think they are preaching this and have a full understanding of the totality of what's taking place, you know, cause he's talking to the Jews right now, and yeah, they're arguing back and forth with the Sadducees and all these, but even then, you know, he's quoting prophecy, you know, but this all kindreds, that's all kindreds, you know, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And even he said to you first, you know what I'm saying? I'm just reading through this and just kind of taking it all in, you know, the full scope of, you know.
And,
go ahead.
And then I think with going off of that, like how later he struggles with trying to be one way with the Gentiles and one way with the Jews. And it just, I think that shows that whenever we are filled with the Spirit and we're walking in the Spirit, we will get revelation that sometimes it takes our natural, our natural self to catch up and mature with the revelation that we're receiving. And I think that's why it's important to like,
have grace.
Yeah. The grace is awesome. And
mercy on your brothers and sisters.
Yeah. But also just being intentional about, realizing that, like staying humble, I guess.
Yeah.
That even though the Lord's pouring out his Spirit, our flesh is still being cut on each day. And I guess that's what keeps us humble is, you know, we're still going to struggle with things, even though the Lord is using us in a mighty way. And we see that with them.
Yeah, and it is Peter's way of trying to get them to repent, because it is, it's here he's telling them, like, from your offspring, talking directly from Abraham's offspring, is coming one. That's Jesus. And out of this offspring, Jesus, that's going to be superior to all of the prophets, he's coming to bless you and all the families of the earth. Like, it's going to flow out, but it was coming to the Jews first. And he says, there's something that's coming from and for you first that will flow out of you, but it's to bless you. And the blessing is that you would turn from your wickedness.
Yeah.
This is a call to repentance to the Jewish people. Like, this is, and if, I mean, as earlier, it's like, you killed the author of life. You killed him. Like, yes, Jesus said, like, no one takes my life, I lay it down. But yet, by way of Holy Spirit, Peter's still putting that responsibility on their shoulders for the decisions that they make. For he says, at one time you chose a murderer, Barabbas, instead of the author of life. You killed him. You killed Jesus. And yet, that's the beautiful part we talked about yesterday. But yet he's giving you this still opportunity to repent because you did it in the ignorance. You did not understand the magnitude of what you were doing. And he's saying the blessing comes in the repentance. He's saying the blessing, the way he wants to bless you is bring you out of your wickedness. He's delivering you from your wickedness. And it is happening to the Jews first. And it was given to the Jews first, and they rejected it. And that rejection, from a national standpoint, was the reason for the AD 70 judgment. It was a judgment upon Israel for rejecting the Son. And now, according to Romans 11, though, we do believe there's going to be one more time that he gives them an opportunity, and there is great revival, and Israel is going to experience a revival of revivals, and they will, it says, all of Israel will be saved. I don't know if that means exactly like what we think it is, like every single one of them. I think those that are his, those that know his name, those that knows his voice, those coming out of every tribe, and they're going to be saved. And there's going to be a great revival take place in Israel. Verse 3, and they arrested him and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So the apostles have done nothing wrong, like nothing. They seen one guy get healed, and Peter's even proclaiming to him, like, why are you staring at me? This was not for my own power or piety. And then they went and preached that Jesus has resurrected from the dead, and then now they get arrested. And they're put in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word, what? Believed. And the number of men came to about 5,000. So, yes, the apostles ended up in prison, but 5,000 people believed that day. And on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized they had been with Jesus. So the Pharisees, the rulers, the priestly family, all the people of great influence, they said, by what name? Again, this is their offense. Who's given you the authority to do this? How are you doing this?
What I like is Peter, he just laid it out there. Jesus of Nazareth, the one that you crucified.
Mm-hmm.
By his name, we're doing this. Now what? What are you going to do now?
The stone that you rejected.
Yeah.
Death couldn't hold him, so.
The grave couldn't beat him. And, oh, and I love it because they're like, well, these guys, they're not even educated men. They're just common men. They're just a common redneck from Kentucky.
Like they didn't see any threat in them at all before. They thought that all his followers would just fizzle out.
Yep. But they recognized one thing. They had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed beside them, standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that is a notable sign that has been performed through them, is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. We can't deny what's happened, boys. I could just see them sitting in the room saying, look, we got a problem. I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit in the modern-day language. This ain't looking good, boys. That's a legit miracle. And everybody's going to see this. What do we do? Like, that's literally pretty much the conversation they're having. Like, what do we do about we can't deny this miracle happened. Nobody's going to be able to deny. This dude was crippled, and now he's walking in the temple.
And that ain't good enough for him. That, you know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa. This man, instead of being amazed and praising the Lord of what he's done, you know, they're doing miracles that we can't do. Oh man, we're going to lose our power and authority. We got to do something about this, you know.
Because they had already picked their side.
Yeah,
that's the sad part, is they had already chosen. You know, choose ye this day who you mm-hmm. will serve. They already chose that they weren't going to serve the Lord, but they say. The scary part is they really say that they are. They lie and they say that they are. And try to deceive people to thinking that they were serving the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that way it's all about the power, you know, power and control.
Mm-hmm. And verse 17, they tried to express that control. But in order that may spread no farther among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. Like, they really are going to stop it. Like, they believe that if they just tell people, stop talking. And
don't you say another word about this.
Yeah. I want you all to forget
yeah.
that this guy was crippled just yesterday
yeah.
or just a few hours ago. And you are not allowed to talk about this, Jesus. You're not allowed to talk about what happened. Everything is you got to hush. Like, these guys really have that kind of control. But yet, that's been one of the biggest things throughout the whole scripture. They always wanted to take the voice of truth, the voice of the prophets, the voice. We got to shut Elijah up. So Jezebel's, I'm going to kill him. And if I don't kill him, let me die. Like, over and over, the voice is what's trying to be took. And this is what these high priestly families, they were like, all right. I mean, seriously, like, if you're in the room and you're sitting there going, boys, this ain't looking good. This guy, legit miracle. We can't deny it. And the best idea that these smart, educated men can come up with is, let's just tell everybody not to talk about it.
Let's just tell them to shut up and quit talking about it.
Like,
yeah,
like,
they're making a big deal because the other guys aren't educated, but then the ones that are educated are doing the stupid thing.
Like that's the greatest thing. Like, I want to come out of a room. It's like telling teenagers. Like, I've worked enough around teenagers that, you know, when one of them gets in trouble, and it's like going up to a group and saying, now, I don't want you all snickering and talking about what just happened amongst you.
When you know it's about to.
Yeah. And the next time they're out of our eyesight, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
They're going to talk. Like, telling somebody not to say something to talk about it is the direct invitation for them to talk about it.
You're making them want to do it more.
But it's like, that's really the best you come out of this meeting with, is that you're sitting here amongst what's, quote unquote, the most educated, influential, high priestly families, high priestly men, the most notable men of this day when it comes to the temple life and to come to religious system, and the best they can come from this room with is, we're just going to tell them not to say anything about this guy. It's just...
Hey, it just shows how small we are compared to the Lord.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unable to... Yep. When he shows up, I mean, there's nothing anybody can do against it.
Yeah.
It makes it... What is it? He confounds the wise.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what happens. They say, call them and charge them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.
And you know, this is, you know, I'm just kind of taking it all in. The Lord says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that are weeping. You know, and these people, the Sadducees, you know, they were not rejoicing when this man's been healed, you know, while he was rejoicing, you know, and they were jealous. And I believe that's what he's talking about. You know, this is a major, you know, this is like, you know, but there's, on a smaller scale, we got to be careful that this doesn't happen to us. Yeah, you know, rejoice with those that are rejoicing. You know, sometimes we may be going through some things where rejoicing just ain't part of our vocabulary. You know what I'm saying? And we see somebody that's some, you know, thing just really took place, and you know, and sometimes it's hard for us to rejoice with somebody because of something that we're, you know, battling or whatever. But this is what the Lord is trying to teach us. When we esteem others higher than ourselves, you know, we that's the joy of the Lord that overtakes, you know, and it, we focus on the things of the Spirit and the things of the Lord rather than the things of this world. And because we get so caught up on the things that we're dealing with, the things that we're doing, you know, which is normal. I mean, we're human beings. We live every day. We got things. We got this. We got that. And, man, things just become really big in front of us, you know, and it takes all of our attention. And, you know, just like these Pharisees like this, you know, are like that. Well, you know, on a day-to-day, you know, our problems are our problems, you know, but we try to carry around and all, and we don't get to rejoice when somebody else does it because of our focus. You know, if our focus, yeah, we still got to deal with these things. We still got to go through the fires that come, you know, but the Lord's going to see us through. And if we can focus on the Lord, rejoice with those that are rejoicing and weep with those that are weeping, our focus is on the Lord and the love of our neighbor higher than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think is what he's trying to show us here. You know, these guys were so greedy. You know, they totally missed a miracle of God. And they claimed to be godly people. And they totally missed it because they was blinded by their own ambitions, their own things, the things of this world. You know, and here they are day in and day out in the Word and talking about, you know, and giving people advice, you know. But they've been consumed with their job and authority that had been given to them.
And you know, they do that. Oh, are you going to say something? They do that on a pretty intense scale. But like you said, we really do need to check ourselves because how, I mean, that just spoke to me. Like, how often are we so distracted by what's in front of us and what we're going through and almost become selfish because of the things that we are focused on that are in our own lives, and we're, you know, neglecting the ones around us. And it's different, but the same principle. Yeah. We can fall into that jealousy and pride. And
it's not that you're even doing it on purpose. Yeah. It's not that you're even doing it on purpose.
But it's that flesh that wants to not walk in the Spirit. So I think there's always things that we can learn from the Pharisees that, you know, and something that the Lord reminds me too is like, well, something funny that some of the younger people, we say a lot is kill it before it lays eggs.
Yeah.
But it's really true because it starts somewhere. Yeah. And if you don't kill it, if we don't kill the pride when it's, you know, not as extensive, we could end up where the Pharisees are.
Yeah.
And that's what, I feel like the Lord humbled me with that. I forgot what it was, but he really just reminded me of that. Like, it's by my grace that, you know, I think it was maybe times when I've started to judge somebody else, like the Pharisees that are like in a really bad, bad place of being super religious. And like, I mean, I'm like, how can somebody really want to crucify Jesus? Like, Lord, how? But, you know, we don't know what, we can't be too, you know, think too highly of ourselves that we wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
That we, because when presented with the temptation and without the, you know, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we don't know where we would be. And I think he just humbles us to for one, teach us, kill it before it grows worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not about, oh, I would never, I think we talked about that the other day. Be careful not to say, I would never do that, because the Lord will show you really quick how ugly your flesh is. So.
Yeah. And could you imagine, like, I think about it, like, what if the temple leaders were the ones to do the miracle? They'd be broadcasting it ever. Look what we did, guys. Look at this. Yes, like, come. I told y'all we were legit. And
that's true.
I think it speaks to the pride of them, because for me, like, one thing the Lord showed me at a young age was when we pray for revival and we're praying for a move of the Spirit, we're praying for people to be saved, we've got to rejoice whether it happened in our four walls or our neighbor's four walls or the church down the road. Because if we're really after the kingdom growing, it doesn't matter which church the Spirit blows in, as long as he's blowing, as long as people are being saved. And if you can't celebrate what God's doing in somebody else's house, don't be surprised when you don't move in your house.
Yeah.
And that's something the Holy Spirit really taught me at a young age, is when you pray for revival and you're praying for a move of God, like, we got to be okay wherever it happens. As long as it's happening.
Because everybody's in a, like Hannah talked about earlier this morning, everybody's in a different level or a different state, not, you know, just a different part of their walk, you know. So when revival breaks out, that's because they've been through this fire and now they're coming out and it's time for the fire, you know, for the revival. And then other churches, like what you're describing there, Aaron, maybe starting to walk into the fire, you know what I'm saying? And everybody's just at different areas in their walk that, you know, that this one will fire up, and then this one here may look like it's dormant, but it may be in a winter season, you know, like in the winter, nothing grows, but then comes spring, you know. So this one may be in the winter season. This one may be in a spring season. This one may be in the summer. This one may be in harvest, where everything's, we're reaping the fruit of all the things that they've done, you know. And
That goes back to the rejoicing with I think we do forget. We think about, like, on an individual level, but we should rejoice with other churches when they rejoice, and we should weep with other churches when they weep. Like, there's nothing. I think it's so powerful whenever a church goes through something heartbreaking or, you know, a devastation of some sort, and you see multiple churches come together to
uplift,
love, and help, and you know, be the body of Christ to other churches, because you see that there's not divisions. You know, we may be reaching different areas, but when you're willing to come together, you know, you're not divided.
We're all one body.
Yeah.
And
I do think, though, like, what, taking it on the individual level, though, with what Aaron was talking about, you know, we got to remember that with each other. Like, if we've been praying for, I think the Lord will reveal in our own hearts, you know, the jealousy and the pride or whatever it is with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, if we've been praying and believing for something and we're not receiving it, but then our brother or sister receives and they get a blessing from the Lord, but we still haven't got, our prayer still hasn't been answered, but theirs has, or the Lord just decides to bless them or give them revelation and we still haven't received anything yet and we're still waiting. You know, I think the Lord wants us to get to the point with that scripture that we can rejoice with our brother and or sister. You know, I know something that is really hard for a lot of people is like when they've been believing for God to send them a spouse and they're in singleness and then they're around a lot of other people who God sent them their spouse and
or children.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think is spouses and marriage and children is probably one of the two biggest ones. But I think that that verse really, the Lord can use that to really help us check our heart and keep us, you know, keep us in alignment with Him, because He does want us to rejoice with one another. And I think when we're able to do that, it shows us that, you know, we're letting the Lord work in us. We're in a good, pretty good place with the Lord of letting Him, you know, conform us. But whenever we're struggling with those things, I think that's the Lord exposing something that He wants to get rid of in our heart.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're fighting against something, that's evidence of the Lord working in you.
That's the thing that the Lord's working on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Very good conversation. We're getting ready to head into Kingdom Corner. It's a little late for us to take a break. We'll be popping in a break, talking 5 or 10 minutes and going right back to break. So we'll just continue forth. We're going to go into Kingdom Corner, and then we'll continue forth. We don't forget, next week we won't be here. It's a shutdown for the ministry for Christmas week, and so we won't be here next week, but we will be here a few days the following week. I know we got 1 or 2 days we won't be there that day either. So this time of the year, just a little bit hit or miss with
holidays.
Who had the idea to put them all together?
What are you talking about?
Like Thanksgiving Christmas, and New Year's. And just boom, all three of them right there. And so
it maybe would have been smarter to space them out a little bit.
Yeah, let's start New Year. Let's start the New Year like in July somewhere. Let's just get that out of the way.
Let's just move it back to at least February. All right, hey, take us in the Kingdom Corner.
Well, a lot of people do celebrate Christmas in July, but... Okay, I normally don't hop over here, but I'm going to be in Jude. Just Jude. Jude 1, or however you want to say it.
Which chapter are you going to be in there in Jude?
Verse 17. So, Jude 17, verse 17. But you must remember, and the title here in this version is A Call to Persevere, so I like that. Verse 17, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. And there was two scriptures I wanted to go to, if I can find them here. I'm just learning how to take notes on here on my scriptures. So there was two references here. I think one of them is Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So that one's just like another verse that speaks about this, of building yourself up in the faith and the importance of that. And I think the other one was actually in Ephesians, yeah. Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And so we see here, and actually in all of these, which is interesting to me because I never really, I know this to be true about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't catch it in these verses before. Whenever it talks about praying in the Spirit, in these instances, it's always talking about also interceding for others. So the Spirit gives us the way to pray for others. And when we are praying in the Spirit, we are going to be looking out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to be, and how awesome does that line up with Jesus? Because he's making intercession for all of us. He's praying in the Spirit right now, every single day, making intercession for us. So how fitting is it that when we pray in the Spirit, we're aligning with his Spirit, and we're praying, starting to pray what he's praying. Mm. We're starting to pray for one another, what he's praying, I believe, what he's praying for us and how he's interceding for us. We begin to come into alignment as we pray in the Spirit, and we are basically the opposite of praying amiss. We're praying on target, exactly what he's praying for one another. Because he taught us, he said, you know, they will know us by what? Our love for one another. He taught us that the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So I don't know. I see that here, that he's really trying to focus on, in the Spirit, there is such a unity. I know Ephesians talks about it as a bond of peace among one another. And it's because he did, that was his goal, was to leave us not astray, like leave us not as lonely, as ones that are scattered, but to bring us together. Because at one time, his people were all scattered, and you know, we know that in a sense, Israel is still scattered because of things that have happened and judgment and all that. But his people that were, you know, once scattered, he has brought together by the unity of the Spirit. And even when we're not together, we are so unified in the Spirit, and we are connected. I just think that's amazing. It's just speaking to me that I'm so thankful. A lot of times I say I'm thankful for the body of Christ, but I'm thankful for the Spirit working in the body of Christ.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the bonding of peace, the bonding of unity. That's why I love the body of Christ. It's not because of the people. No offense, anybody. I mean, we all are without the Spirit that bonds us together, we would never be.
Right.
We would never want to be around each other. There's no way. Yeah. Our flesh would get in the way, and we would just, I mean, I think it's amazing that the Lord calls people from all different backgrounds, from all different personalities, all different, you know, all different talents and giftings, and we most likely wouldn't be in community with one another. A lot of us wouldn't if we didn't have the Spirit connecting us. But that's the beautiful thing, is, you know, we all, yes, we have our part, we're different, and the Lord's made us different, and that's good, but he made that part of us to be connected with one another, and that part of him that's in us. So I'm going to go back, and I think there was another thing I wanted to touch on, but that was a part that I just really loved about it. And it talks about, you know, in the last days, there will be scoffers. There will be the ones causing divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. And so I just love it because it really is telling us, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus, and have mercy on others, save others by, like it's saying, how do you avoid becoming part of this group that's causing division, that's following their ungodly passions? Stay connected stay in line with the love of God. Make sure your vertical is right, your vertical relationship with the Lord is right, but then focus on snatching people out of the fire. Focus on walking in the Spirit, because these people who are doing these things are devoid of the Spirit, totally empty. So continue to be filled up by the Spirit. And then, you know, it finishes with giving glory to the Lord. And I do love that it says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. So it's not by our own ability, that we are not part of that other group. Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless. So it's not by our works at all. And it just reminds us, you know, yes, you're going to do great things. You're going to snatch people out of fires. You're going to pray in the Spirit. You're going to get filled up by the Holy Ghost. But guess what? It's not by your own ability. It'll never be by your own ability. He is going to keep you. He's the one that saves you and keeps you. And we're just reminded of that in towards the end. And present you blameless. I'm thankful for that.
It's, you know, exalt your brothers, you know, or was it? I done forgot what I said earlier, but how you just lift your others up, you know, uh-huh. and rejoice with those who rejoice.
Rejoice with those who rejoice.
You know, and this is, you know, that just goes right along with, you know, did you plan that out or is that just the way that worked out?
No, I've had this for like 2 days or 2 or 3 days.
So that, you know, that just goes right along with what we're talking about today, you know, just being led of the Spirit, you know, and it takes the Spirit in order for you to rejoice when somebody else is rejoicing. You know, without that Spirit, well, you know, that song, I don't know who sings, it's a newer song, I guess. It said, if the Lord never done another thing for me, he's done enough, right? And I think I've said this before. Well, if the Lord never done another thing for me, I would go right back to where I was. You know, if he never done another thing for me, I need him every day. I need him every minute. If he ever was to not do it, I would go right back the way I was. He's the only good in me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If he... don't do another thing. I need him. Amen. I need him every second of every day. And, you know, and I, it's because of him. The only good in me is him in me. If you know, the love that I have is his love in me. And it didn't, you know, I didn't just, that wasn't something that was easy for me, you know, and, I'm sure the Lord's up there shaking his head. Yeah, you're right, son. You're right. It wasn't easy. You know, it was a battle, and just different things. You know, and we should always consider where the Lord has brought us from, and how we was feeling during those times, and consider your brother or sister. You know, maybe they are where you was. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they were where you was, and you can give them some confidence in your testimony.
I don't think any of us live this enough.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any of us love our neighbor as ourselves enough, you know, in the sense of...
I don't think we understand what it means. Yeah. That's what it is. You know, not that we don't want to.
No, we want...
It's just that we just don't understand what it means, I believe. Or that's... I'm speaking for me right now.
And we're still learning, you know, we're still learning and the Lord's still showing us. But I just really feel like...
Yeah.
I think, honestly, a lot of it is our culture. I think a lot of it is us here, sitting here. And we're in such a blessed and spoiled nation, you know, and you see with people who are facing hardship and people who are, you know, in third world countries, people who are experiencing war, you know, they're having to hide for their lives, or people, the underground churches that are being persecuted.
Yeah.
You see such more of a loving your neighbor as yourself, like a going out of your way to protect your neighbor and love your neighbor and take care of one another, nurture one another.
And feed
one another. Yeah. And we see that, like, the body of Christ is doing amazing things for one another, but I do think we neglect our brothers and sisters in Christ a lot of times just because of the fact that we're so blessed and we don't see in our friend, in our brothers and sisters in Christ, we may not see the needs that they have always, but also even sharing the love of God. Like, sometimes we get so caught up in, what we talked about this earlier, we get so caught up in our own life that we forget to look for the needs of one another spiritually and check in on each other. And if anything, I mean, we should definitely be praying for one another, because that's the best thing that we can do. Even if we don't reach out, if we're praying, intentionally praying in the Spirit for one another, seeking God, you know, on their behalf, then that's the best thing we can do. But I think that he will lead us. If we really are seeking God for someone, then eventually he'll lead us to somehow show love to him.
Yeah.
You know, whether even if it's just an encouragement or reaching out to each other.
How much time we got?
We got 8 minutes.
You got anything, Aaron? Let's Matthew chapter 6. Is it the Lord's Prayer? Did I talk to y'all about the Lord's Prayer, what he showed me last week? Or it may have just been, we read the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. So we read that, I'm just talking about me. I read that, I read over it. I've memorized it, and I say the things. But the Lord said, hey, I want you to break that down. And I want you to read it line upon line. And every line I want you to consider. When you get done considering, I want you to go to the next one. And when I want you to consider it. And then whenever you get done with that one, I want you to go to the next one. So when we break this thing down, it says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what does that mean to us? Like, hallowed, that means set apart. That means, there's none beside him. He's holy of holies. What does that mean to you? For me, it's just like it's the words. I don't have the words to express the meaning of that to the Lord in my mind. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at on that one. In the next one, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. So, what is your will, Lord? What is it? Your kingdom, okay? Not my kingdom, not what I'm doing. Yeah, I've got all this stuff going here, but that's just because I'm here. I'm in this world. As I go through, I got to handle these things. But what is it? What is it? What do you want? Your will be done in earth. We are we're in the earth. His will be done in us. What will you have me do? What is it? I have all this going here, Lord, but what? Not my will, but yours. All right, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, speak to me. Where will you have me go today? What do you have me do today? Lord, just help me get through this day the way you'd have me do it. Help me walk where you'd have me to walk. Help me speak what you'd have me speak. Help me do what you'd have me do, Lord. Give me today what you'd have me to do. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those. That's a tough one. Lord, this person is so, he's done this thing. Father, you see how I feel about this guy. You see they done me wrong, Lord. I can't, I'm bringing this to you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, and help me forgive those. Help me have the ability to forgive those. And lead in verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lead me not into temptation. Lord, I'm going to take this back to the other one. These people or this thing is doing this, and this is what I want to do, Father. Lord, help me get over this. Help me get through this, Lord. Take these thoughts from me. Take these things, deliver me from this evil and deliver me, and let your power and your glory shine in me. He just broke that down for me. It's never been broke down like that for me before. And now that whenever the Lord's Prayer, how we see it on signs, we see it, we hear it in all the things, but the Lord just told me to break it down. And I asked everybody else, now that when this comes up, to sit down by yourself and break that down line upon line, what it means to you. Now, what I said was what I said, but it's you and him. And all this is the Spirit working in us, mm-hmm. And we've all been through this or that. So when we see our brother or sister going through something, let's try to lift them up. Well, hey, I was going through this one time and the Lord showed me this, that, and the other, and he's pulled me through, You know, and when somebody, even just if you can just listen to some people, if you can just give them your ear, you know, that's a big help just for somebody to get it off their chest. You know, just being there for somebody just to talk to is a lot. But if you can share what the Lord has done, that will give them motivation and give them hope in the Lord. Well, okay, Lord, so you done this for them. You know, what must I do? You know, I don't know. I'm not the Lord. I don't know how he works. I just know that he does. Mm-hmm. and I know that he's faithful.
Amen.
Yeah. But anyways, I just wanted to share that about the Lord's Prayer. I'll quit yakking.
Yeah. No, I think it's really good from time to time to break it down. Because if we're going to pray correctly, you know, we need to look at how he tells us to. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going to take our hard break. Read our first trivia question of the morning. Let's see here. How many days did God give Noah to prepare before the floodwaters came after announcing he would send rain? How many days did God give Noah to prepare before the floodwaters came after announcing he would send rain? 270-257-2689. What do y'all want to do? A little Christmas music this morning coming out?
Yeah. Spread some cheer.
All right. Well, this
no comment.
Pointing to the Lord. Of course.
Amen. Well, we'll just
do... We won't do Grandma Got Ran Over.
But
hey, how about Mary Did You Know for Jason?
You got it.
That's a good one right there.
You
it's
got it.
It's a good song.
We'll just do...
This goes out for Jason. This is for me to you, brother.
Well, we're going to do our legal ID. Yep. Yep. Well, we're going to go our legal ID and then Mary Did You Know here on Box 2 Radio Network. All right. We are back here on this beautiful morning. I don't know if Jason heard that shout out from Greg or not, but, you know, I was just sitting there break thinking, I told Greg, you think John the Apostle, like as Mary was with him after Jesus' death, because behold, woman, your son, and behold, man, your mother. And he just looks at her and says, Auntie Mary, did you know that my cousin would someday...
uplift our brothers, but I'm going to have to ask you not to do that.
You know, I
want to encourage you, but not to do that.
Last night I played piano at church for the second time, and like it was only the second time I played in probably like the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
So I don't play much anymore. So I'm really rusty and
what, you're talking about piano or
yeah, piano. Okay. And so
I thought you were about to say like basketball, and I was like, but you play basketball.
No, I play basketball a lot, but but I was just, you know, as when you play when you're a musician or you're playing or anything like that, there's certain things you used to be able to do with ease. That's like, oh, I could get these fingers back into position.
Back in the fingering.
Yeah, back position. Into that.
And then it doesn't.
They won't do it.
It doesn't feel
natural.
Flowing. It feels like your hands cramping up.
Yeah. So here I am doing that, and Eliza goes home and goes, Mom, Dad's got some jazz to him. So,
oh, my goodness. No, but what we was talking about, that Hello. Mary Did You Know, and we was, me and
yes,
Hannah,
ma'am.
We was talking during a break.
Yes.
Was I just picture that as Mary sitting around, she's probably 80 or something, and then whoever's asking her is like, did you even know that
yeah,
your son,
well,
you know, when
question.
He's a baby.
He's had a fever.
I just figured, you know, you change his diapers, do anything. Did you have any idea, you know, that this is the Son of God? You know, that this is what he was going to do or whatever. I mean, she knew he was the Son of God because the angel told her. But to understand what that means, who understands what that means? Even now, who do we understand what that means,
yeah.
You know? And then we know what it means to us, but...
That's what I always think of it like, is...
Like a retrospect.
What did you think in your mind it was going to be like? Was it anything like you thought it was going to be like, or was it...
Yeah.
Completely,
you know,
like different.
Somebody just sitting around from the outside looking in, say, well, you know, what's your thoughts on this? What did you think about then? You know, that's where I'm at. I hope it's not some kind of whatever Aaron says, macromancing or whatever. I don't even know what that means, but whatever.
Talking to dead people.
Okay, I don't, whatever.
One of the sins. Yeah. One of the...
I
think abominations to the Lord, or
yeah, I don't feel like that song is
when
doing
they
that.
When they would think, try to like, yeah. Well, people do still do that, but yeah. When they would try to pray to him or try to conjure him up or something.
Yeah, Tim just gave me some thumbs up there. He's laughing. I guess he thought it's funny too. So sorry, Jason, I couldn't resist.
Well, but. We were trying to work up something. We were joking one day, and it was Miller, did you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was something like, I can't remember everything that we said in it, but I guess along those lines, we could say things that the Lord's done for him. Did you know that the Lord was going to do this? Because, you know, we talked about that earlier, about... When we were born again, did we know our life was going to be like this?
Yep, that's right. I mean, and, you know, like I was saying, you know, this 20 years now walking with the Lord, I, you know, at the beginning, I had no idea. And in the next 20 years, I don't know what's to come. I just know that, you know, it's only gotten better with the Lord in these 20 years. So I can just assume that it's only going to get even more better.
Yeah.
If that's a more gooder. you know, it's going to get better and better.
Gooder and gooder.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just continue on down that way.
We do that song, Keep On Getting Better.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of that, you know, the Lord, and then there's a part, every day gets sweeter, every day gets better. And it truly is, like, somebody one time was like, but that's not true. Like, every day is different. Like, some days you have hard days, but the thing is, when it's talking about your life in the Lord, because your joy and your relationship with the Lord should keep getting better and better, you know, like he should keep getting bigger and bigger to us and more awesome and more awesome, like every day.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like when you drive by Louisville and you see the big planes out on the runway. I mean, they look big, but you ought to walk up to them things. They're huge, you know. The closer you get to them, the bigger they are, right? And that's the way the Lord is, you know. When we first meet him, I mean, he's huge. But the closer we get to him, the even greater that he is, you know. And you know, it's just like y'all have heard me say this on here 1,000 times, you know, the world gives you the best first, and then it's never as good as the first, you know. That's how the world operates. But the Lord, he only gets better every time, you know. It's like a continuation. The closer you get to him, the better, you know. It's just, I've never had, well, I mean, that was good, but yesterday sure was, but no, I've never heard that with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Man, you should have seen that. Well, this service was awesome. And then the next week, wow, what an amazing service this was, you know, or the Lord really moved on me. You know, it's always better. And the thing about it is, like you said, it's not better in terms of the things of this world. It's better in terms of your relationship with him and your closeness with him and your understanding of him. And these hard times are hard.
Yeah.
And they hurt when we're going through them. But as the Lord pulls us through them, he is building us. He is molding us. He is fixing us. He's transforming us in this. And then when we come out and we realize that, how much more, you know, how you know, how all the glory afterwards, you know, just like, you know, when you look back and you see, yeah, it was not fun during the process, but what that process produced was worth it all at the end, you know. And it's so much better in the Lord. And that's not a worldly thing, you know. It's not an earthly thing of better. It's godly.
It's godly, yeah. It's almost, I was thinking, like, we keep finding out that he's better than everything else. So, like, each thing that we have come up in our life, we keep finding out that he's better than that. Or if we had something that was so dear to us that we didn't realize we were still, like, really holding on to, and it was, like, so amazing to us and dear to us, and then we realized that, oh, that thing can't fulfill me anymore. Like, that thing can't be my comfort anymore. The Lord is better than that.
Yeah.
And I think about that too with that song is, you know, he's truly the best. Yeah. Like he stands alone. Like he's better every day. I realize that it's not worth that thing isn't worth putting it above him.
Yeah.
You know, I might still fall short and do it, but then I learn, I'm like, why did I do that? Like, yeah. It's nothing compared to the Lord. It's not worth it.
You know, I think, and that's part of our humbleness, you know, the thorn in the flesh, you know, it's different, whatever for it, but I believe that's that struggle, that battle is to keep us humble, you know, to keep us, because we need that daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We need him every day. And because of our flesh, the way that it operates and everything, we need him to save us from it. You know, we need him to save us from ourselves. That's who he's saving us from. We're the problem.
I mean, yeah.
You know, we're the problem. He's saving us from ourselves. And like I said, we're stuck between our ears and behind our eyes. That's a pretty narrow place to be. You know, and well, mine's pretty hollow. You know, it's a lot of echoes. But anyway, but that's you know, that's what's getting better. And then you know that song, "Mary, Did You Know," is I feel like you know we could, you know, like you said, sit down. Did you know the Lord was gonna where you did you know he's gonna be where you are right now when the Lord saved your soul? You know. I think that's a similar question is the song asking
that song.
Mary, you know, did you know that your son, you know, whenever he was a baby, was going to do all these things that he did? You know, was you aware, you know? So
if you have no choice but to listen to Mary, Did You Know this season?
Jason, I'm talking to you.
If
today,
it just
brother.
Gets played or some people just start singing it and you have no control over it, you wouldn't choose to listen to it. Now, after this, you know, this topic and this interpretation, this reflection, you can have something to reflect on.
Yeah.
You can just don't really listen to it. Just let it be a food for thought, a springboard to think about what the Lord has done for you.
Yeah. Since
the day you were born again.
Yeah.
There we go. We solved it.
I'm trying to help Jason. This is all for Jason Miller.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, amen. We had a prayer request coming. I won't say it out loud, but we'll definitely be praying my brother. Hannah sent that over to me, and we're going to be praying. If you all ever have prayer requests that we can add to our prayer list and to the altar here that we have, we have a big old box full of index cards here with just prayer requests written on them that I know people go throughout the day and throughout the week and pray for these prayer requests. And so we are always really, really hungry to pray for your needs and pray, connect in faith with you. So 270-230-6337 is that number to text in your prayer request, or you can call them in as well. Amen.
Amen. We are believing with you. For that listener,
yeah, there's one listener says I still won't listen to it without giggling.
me neither, listener.
Yeah, imagine trying to sing it without giggling.
I never even thought anything about it till I found out Jason can't stand it. So now every time I hear that song, I think Jason hates this song.
You should have been here, Greg. Whenever Heather, she had me sing it. And it was right freshly after he expressed his hatred for it. And then everybody in the
entire... Well, hatred's a strong word.
Okay, his dislike for it. And then everybody in the congregation turns to look. And I'm looking at the... Like, I can see in my peripheral that everybody's looking at him. So I look the opposite way. Because I know from the day he sang it in here, if I look at him, I will lose it.
I'm pretty sure his face turned red that day. I'm pretty sure he was kind of flustered a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
The day, I don't know if you saw the video of the day in here, but I was like, I messed up the video because I was trying to get him, but I couldn't look at his face. So I wasn't looking at the phone as I was recording because I was going to bust out laughing if I looked at his face. That's how I do. Like, I can't look at people if I'm have secondhand embarrassment or if they're cracking me up, or I will lose it.
Oh, man.
And if Mariah or Kaylee's in the room, do not look at the, if they're at church with you and they start laughing, do not look their way, because you will start laughing and it will be uncontrollable.
Yeah, my daughter does that to me sometimes. I'll be playing bass and we'll have some kind of something, whatever. She'll look at me and grin or whatever. I'm like, oh, man. And I got to look down because I'm busting out laughing while I'm playing. I'm just looking straight at the floor.
Yeah. I know that was a part yesterday. Again, I don't play much music anymore, yeah. But I hit a wrong note. Like, I mean,
I hate
really,
not doing
really
that.
That, I mean, I felt really good that it was only one real wrong note in the midst of that because of how much I don't play or practice anymore. But I remember playing, you know, just like, I can hear it. And Jacob said, I saw your face. I saw your face on that one. I was like, because when you hear it, like, you know it.
Yeah.
Because it was a build part, too, is in Greater You Lord. And so I'm building off of it. And so I'm supposed to go all the way from the C to the F. And when I went to the F, I actually hit the E. I hit an E minor instead of an F. And just because my fingers just went to one key too far.
Very easy to do.
It's very easy to do, but I was like, ugh, but that's a big difference, an E minor from an F.
Yeah.
So it was pretty prevalent, pretty probably open.
Hey, none of us care, though. When you have that many kids singing together, it just drowns out, I feel like, everything else.
Yeah, I play the bass, and every once in a while, quite often I hit the wrong one, and I'm like, oh, no.
Hey, yeah. It's worse, though, whenever you have, like, if you have other instruments, you're kind of hidden a little bit.
Yes, that's
but when
good
you're
thing
the only,
about...
when you're the solo,
yeah.
It's worse.
It was just me on the keys with the girls.
Oh, wow.
Because Heather wasn't able to come last night, and so I thought
Jacob might try to hop in the... In the drums.
Yeah, a little bit of help would have been great. Like,
thanks a lot, Jacob.
Like, back in my prime when I was playing all the time, that was fine. I could handle it. But
give
this guy a break. Like, I'm not a
not a
keyboardist no more.
I thought it went pretty good.
What kind of questions we got today?
That's actually what I'm turning over to. I'm trying to find my questions here. There was one or two we didn't get to earlier in the week that I was going to finish off, but it takes me finding these things. All right. Excuse me. It appears that in the account in Mark 11 of the disciples going to get the coat for Jesus, that they just planned to take the donkey without asking. What actually happened in this account? Well, they were told not to ask, kind of deal. Like, it was kind of like, you know, if they say it, if they ask about you, just say the master, the Lord has need of it.
I think, to me, I believe the Lord prophesied what was going to happen. I think he told them, you know, if they come, tell them the Lord has need of it. Because that's...
The people that...
Yeah. And that's what they said. And I'm just wondering, you know, kind of like the people in the upper room, you know, go tell him that basically, he said the same thing to the people in the upper room, didn't he? Like, I can't remember how it was worded, but, you know, to go there and have the room prepared, you know, follow the guy with the water pot, or whatever it was, and go to the guy with the water pot. He has a room for you. So I think it was just part of the plan, you know, that from the beginning, you know, and the Lord told him what to say to the person. I'd say, I don't have there's no biblical evidence or anything like this, but I just assume that this guy had a dream, or maybe the angel spoke to this guy. I don't, you know what I'm saying? This is all speculation, but the Lord has need of it. And he, okay. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, just going by the way we interpret how the Lord has operated in throughout, I can just assume that the owner of that cult had a vision, a dream, or a visitation of some sort.
I think the Lord had prepared the owner somehow.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. See?
He had prepared him. Like, it's just like, because I don't think the Lord's stealing the donkey at all. Like, it was a full...
Well, no, because he owns all the donkeys. Just saying.
It's his donkey.
He owns everything.
They're all his.
But I just feel like I don't know, but I'm with you, Greg. It could have been a vision. It could have been a dream.
Yeah.
Somehow this owner had been prepared.
But we don't have there's nothing that says that. That's just, we're just taking all the scripture and applying.
It's what they taught us to do in school called a hypothesis. It's an educated guess.
But even if he wasn't prepared, I mean, obviously, even if he was mad, the Lord would speak to him. The Lord has never just forsaken somebody and not revealed why he, you know, not given some sort of revelation or, you know, teaching them why they've done it, revealing the prophecy, because it was fulfilling a prophecy of him riding on the donkey.
Now, let me just clarify this.
Not only a donkey, but a young colt.
Young colt.
Yeah. It's never been ridden.
Yeah, let me just say this too. That does this does not give you permission to go up to somebody and take something and say the Lord have need.
No, unless the Lord tells you to do it, because the Lord told thee specifically to go get this specific one.
Yeah,
and do it a specific way. Now, if the Lord tells you that, that's the Lord. That's between you and the Lord.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I would say too, because I read this account in Matthew 11. It's verse 2 and 3. Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as soon, I mean, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and will send it back there immediately. I would say for the most part, too, people would have probably, not only have they been prepared, they probably was aware that when they said the Lord has need of it, they're talking to Jesus. Like, I just feel like there's this significance in this that, and he's like, he's going to bring it back. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And
that's how I believe as well. Like I said, there's not a verse in there that says that or anything, but just throughout all the way the Lord has worked up to this point, he's always been on both sides of the operation, you know. Of the giver and the taker. He's been on both sides.
That's what I was thinking. He gives and takes away.
Pastor Dwayne says, well, it could have been in the moment and being obedient to the request. It very well could have been.
Yes.
All we know is that the Lord needed it and the Lord will give it back.
Yeah.
And so that probably don't work if you go up to somebody and, like, the Lord has need of this double cheeseburger that you're about to.
The Lord didn't tell you that.
Yeah, and then, you know, so, what I'm thinking about is the owner of the colt, you know, is not a follower of Jesus, you know. I say that. I don't know whether he is or not, but I'm just saying, you know, he's just there. He's doing his thing. You know, he's at his house, and here comes a couple people come take a donkey. You know, I just feel like he's had some kind of preparation done. Or else he'd be like, hey, don't be taking my donkey. You know, I don't know. It's just my assumption.
The Lord prepared everything else, and he lined up everything else. So
I just assume he lined this up too. Yeah. That's my assumption. Don't hold that to yourself. That's just mine.
But it would be funny to, like, be able to see a screenplay of these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what it really, because we know, we get these things, you know, these stories and these events in our mind, but I think it would be really cool just to see what it actually looked like, because, you know, we don't ever know. People act, people act in certain ways, and I don't know. I think there would be funny things, but there would also be, like, wowing things.
And I think that's why that show that he don't like to talk about, people like that show so much, because it kind of gives you that idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Jason Miller chimed in here.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. I'm sorry, Jason. I'm really sorry, buddy.
He said, I've heard. I had a song dedicated to me this morning. I often complain that I'm not allowed to have a radio on the bus. Goes to the law. But he will never complain again after this morning. He says, now he considers to be the favor of the Lord upon his life.
I agree, Jason. I agree. That just shows you the Lord's always with us.
Yeah, I forgot what it was. It was a couple of years ago, and it was just right after this whole, I mean, this has been like a 2-year thing now, so this is not new.
Yeah.
That we've been hounding Jason for us. But he was doing something on a Sunday morning, and Josh Durkee was here that morning. And I don't know if it was receiving the offering or we were, like, in the morning. He said, Josh, just give us a little song. Because Josh was playing keys that morning and leading worship. And then all of a sudden, Josh hits the Mary Did You Know run. And Jason goes,
That was funny. I forgot about that.
Oh, it was so funny. I don't know. I feel like now they sing, all the kids sing to Miller, did you know?
Yeah.
That's my fault.
Yeah, that was Hannah's that instigating. The funny part about that is, for those who don't know how this all came about, was we were actually in a share-a-thon.
Yep.
Jason never agreed to sing the song. Never.
But somebody agreed for him.
But there may have been a Pastor Aaron that did. and said, if you all give this amount of money, Jason will sing the song.
And he did.
And Jason's like, I never agreed to this. But we got, like, you know, I don't even think it was, like, about, like, if it was, like, if we hit the goal or something
like
that.
Something like
that. It wasn't, like, a specific money, but, like, if we hit the goal, Jason's singing this song.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one that volunteered him. I'm the one that instigated it. And then I'm the one that made sure it was followed through with.
And he never agreed.
He never agreed to anything.
I remember but that still, conversation with him. He's like, you know, I don't know about this. Like, so all this stuff was done, and I never agreed to any of it, but yet I
ended up doing it?
Yeah. He says, I don't know. I just remember that conversation.
But it's so, like, it's just the best. I'm so glad that I witnessed it.
Yeah. The best part was that when he was singing the song on the air, he goes, now for the dramatic pause.
He did. He said that. Mary, did you know? And then he got his voice really deep.
Hey, so hold on. This is what we got to have to do. We're going to have to maybe one day on your day off, you know.
What?
Well, on your day, you know, we got a couple of days off here coming up.
Oh, the break. Okay.
Yeah, during the break, maybe we can have that day as a replay on for everybody, you know, for it's like a Christmas gift.
I'd have to find that would be that, good. That would be good. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to find it.
Yeah. And make sure to text me when it's going to be aired because I'd like to hear it again. But make sure to text make sure to text Jason so he knows to get in the bus so he don't have to hear it.
I got to find it.
I can't remember the date.
Yeah.
It wasn't like actually at Christmas time. That's what makes it difficult.
Yeah. It was a share-a-thon. Fall share-a-thon.
It was after a spring break or something. A fall break. So
yeah, a fall share-a-thon.
Yeah. I think it was fall.
Yeah.
Well, we might be. You never know what we're going to talk about. But yeah. Well, we're going to do another Christmas break. We've got one of our very own, Billy Douglas. We're going to play his song here, The Little Snowflake. The Little Snowflake. We'll be right back here after the break. Well, the maker knows best. Amen. What can I do? Get in the hands of the maker. Amen.
Do you know if we talked about if we got to the Bible question on God's forgiveness?
What was the question?
We can go to it.
Yeah.
It seems that in Matthew chapter 6, 14 through 15, God's forgiveness is conditional. So
let's see.
Matthew, let's turn. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15.
That was right around where I was.
And while I'm going to have Greg turn there for us, and on his way there, I'm going to read this comment that came in as well. It was just good. Pastor Darren was weighing in on our conversation earlier. We're kingdom people called to build the kingdom, not just our castle. I liked that.
Yeah.
Called to build the kingdom, not just our castle. And then it is easy sometimes to pat ourselves on the back for meeting folks' physical needs, but not reaching out to their spiritual needs. May we love our neighbor in all the ways that the Lord loves us. I love that. Because the Lord doesn't just neglect one of our needs. You know, he makes us whole. And so I think he wants us to look out for the wholeness of one another too. So that was really good. That was good, Pastor Darren.
Yep.
So we are in Matthew
chapter 6, 14
and 15. 6, 14. Yeah. You want to read that for us?
Yeah. For if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That sounds pretty conditional to me.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts? And I've got a whole lot I can talk about on here that I'd like to share.
Okay.
But
I would say it is conditional. Like, his love is unconditional, but his forgiveness is conditional because he can't his blood, the free gift of forgiveness is available to all.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it, but it's still conditional because you have to receive him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to just, you know, go to heaven, but you want to continue to walk in sin and you don't want Jesus, you just want heaven, then there is a condition there that you can't have one without the other.
Right.
So you can't have heaven without Jesus. You can't have Jesus without heaven. You can't have Jesus without the things that come along with Jesus, which is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah. They're all one.
Yep.
And all in his word, you know, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God. He is the living word. So I think this condition, it's not like a, it's not the kind of conditions that we think of as humans, like, but it is more or less, it's, you can't separate Jesus from his word, and you can't separate Jesus from his holiness and all of who he is. It's almost like saying, you know, if you can be forgiven and not follow what his word is saying, then you're picking and choosing. You can just have a part of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's how I see it, is it's conditional because we must live by his word. Like, his word is the standard, and what he says, his commandments, you know, he has commandments. So I think that's why his forgiveness is conditional, in the sense of we have to, if you love me, keep my commandments. If, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. These are things that we must do. It's not that we're earning forgiveness, but we are, because we've received his forgiveness, we are walking out and keeping his commandments. So in the beginning, it's a free gift. I mean, it is a free gift to receive him. Yeah. But once we receive him, there are conditions that apply to that.
So if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. All right, so the Lord's word will not return void. All right, and he says, my sheep hear my voice. All right, so you tell your brothers and sisters in Christ for the love they have for one another, right? So just as Stephen was being stoned, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. He was not holding the actions of men towards him against the men that were performing the actions towards him. You know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and spiritual high places. So what this is saying is, you know, those that have ears, let them hear. If we cannot forgive men, then we have to question whether or not we have allowed the lordship over our lives completely. You know, and that's a struggle. That's a struggle within all of us. I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, I've got this, because, you know, my first reaction is never the right one, ever. My first reaction is usually mine, and it's never the right one, but it takes the Holy Spirit to convict me and to point out the error of my way. And it takes the Holy Spirit in me to give me the strength to do what he's asking me to do. And the fact that your heavenly Father cannot forgive you yours is because, in this instance, is because you are not following him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going your own way. And he will allow you to go your own way. And he shows you throughout his word what happens. You know, he's got every path you can take laid out in his word. There's no path underneath the sun that a man can take that he has not laid out the beginning and the end thereof. And whether that's good or bad, because his word does not return to him void. And for us to walk in unforgiveness, the same as that is the same as Moses. He didn't enter to the promised land because of his unbelief. You know, he didn't get to enter into his rest. We enter into the Lord's rest, like in Hebrews. We enter into the Lord's rest by ceasing from our works. You know, so if we forgive our brothers, then our Heavenly Father will forgive us. And the reason being is because it's him that's working in us that allows us to forgive our brother. And for him, for us to not forgive the trespass of the brother is because we are not capable within ourselves to do that. And yeah. We're not allowing the Lord to work in us. So if we don't allow the Lord to work in us, how can he forgive us if we don't allow him to?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I think it's important we realize it's not condemning. It's not saying, like, you have to be able to do this in yourself, and if you can't forgive, then you can't be a Christian. Nope. It's saying if you're struggling to forgive, then submit that to the Lord, and he will help you. Like, I know the verse doesn't say that, but when you weigh that verse with the rest of Scripture, that's what we learn, is that we don't get to get out of anything that it's telling us to do because it's hard. But we know in all of the Gospels, and when it teaches us about how the Holy Spirit is our greatest teacher, and, you know, that it's by his Spirit, it's by him living inside of us. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is living inside of us. We learn that that's what empowers us to do these things.
Yes.
And that wouldn't normally, you know, be natural to us. So he will help us.
Yeah, God resists the proud, but he gives his ear to the humble. And it takes a humble person to forgive another person. And this is how this works. But a prideful man, he will not forgive. His pride will not allow him. And in like manner, pride goes before the fall. You know, God's word does not return to him void. And we always want to use that on the good things, but it's also true in the bad things too. His, you know, what he says is going to happen, whether it be blessings or cursings, will not return to him void.
Yeah.
And these things right here, you know, he gives ear to the humble, and he resists the proud. Mm-hmm. A humble man will forgive. A prideful man will not forgive. A humble man, God can use. A prideful man, God cannot use. So all these weigh into this, listener, on the forgive. It is conditional, but it's not conditional within yourself.
Yes.
It's conditional
upon his word.
Upon his word, and where you are in his word. What, you know, what road you're taking. Are you following the Lord, or are you following yourself? Because his word tells you which way you're going to go. You know, so we just need to read his word as a mirror and compare ourselves to the word and align ourselves, you know, and ask the Lord to align us with his word. You know, let us be washed by the word and let him show us.
Yeah. I think we hear that word conditional and we think like works. Negative.
Yeah,
we think of negative things, of works, of the human, you know, the way that we, our conditions that we put on things. But if there is a condition or a commandment, whatever you want to say, that comes from the Lord, then we know that it has to be righteous. It has to be just, because he's perfect. He's holy, and he can't make a mistake. So if there is a condition, it's always for our good. It's never to harm us. We know that, you know, nothing that he does, nothing that he commands us to do is ever to harm us, but he knows the plans that he has for us to give us a hope and a future, and all of his word fits into that. And I think, you know, I was also thinking of, like you said, his word doesn't return void. His words of punishment, like his promises of judgment, they're not going to return void. But that's why we can be found on, in his grace. You know, to behold, he says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. He's good and he has a severity. But yeah, which side are we going to be found on? You know, are we going to be found in his goodness? Because if we are, then we know we're covered. We're covered by the blood. We, you know, we'll be held accountable for our sins. We won't be able to escape, you know, the truth. He has to eliminate all of those things within us because he's making us perfect. But do we want to be found in the goodness or do we want to be found in the wrath? Because either way, we choose which side. We do choose which side that we're found on.
Yeah.
It's not that we are saving ourselves, but he gave us an opportunity. He gave us the opportunity to choose if we want to be in his wrath or his mercy.
Amen. That's it.
That's it right there. That's the gospel, really.
Like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve.
Who you'll serve.
You know, Joshua, he was about to die when he said that, and he was getting old. And he's like, look at everything the Lord has done. You know, you can go this way, you can go this way, but choose you this day who you're going to serve, you know. And
and you know the saying, like, you can't have your cake and eat it too?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably not the best saying, but it just reminded me, like, you just can't have the world and the Lord.
No.
Like, you can't, sin and righteousness just doesn't, it doesn't mix. And that probably wasn't the best saying for it, but it just, that saying reminded me of the fact that, you know, there are many who will say, Lord, Lord, who tried to mix, you know, they tried to mix the world and sin and flesh with the spirit, and it just doesn't go together. And so we do, you know, scripture is so clear that we have to choose who we're going to serve. And that's how we, understand and get the revelation for verses like that about forgiving our enemies. Because there's no way we can do it within ourselves.
Yeah.
There's no way. So I am curious to hear Aaron's take on the conditional forgiveness. I'm sure it lines up with ours, but.
Yeah, I was listening. I had to run home and check on a sick kid. And so, but I do think that.
Did you run the whole way?
Well, okay, I drove home. I drove home to check on a sick kid real fast. And so, but I was listening to what you all were saying. I want to be careful to make it a work salvaic. But I do think that there's a lot of parables that give warnings about, like, for me, I don't know if you all brought this one up because I was inside for a minute tending to the kid, but forgive me if you've already said this, the parable of the guy who had been forgiven of so much, and then yet he goes and hangs over the head of somebody of a much smaller debt. Like, he's been forgiven of this tremendous debt that he can never repay, and yet he goes and is harsh to somebody who owes him a small debt.
Oh yeah, we didn't bring that up. That's a good one.
And I think that's where we have to be careful of, and, you know, not to, as we have been forgiven, we must walk in forgiveness.
Yeah.
And if we become unforgiving, then honestly, it may not even be a salvaic issue. What it is there's going to be repercussions. There's reaping of this. We're sowing into unforgiveness, and don't be surprised when you reap from that unforgiveness. And so many times sickness is an issue of unforgiveness, bitterness and hate and anger in your heart. And all these are breeding grounds for many of vines to be growing off. And don't be surprised when you sow into unforgiveness that you reap from it.
Either way with this verse, like, even non-salvation or not, I just think whenever there's something that's clearly spoken in scripture that has a weightiness to it, you know, like, if it tells us to not do something,
don't do it.
We may fall, we may stumble, but we should have some kind of fear of the Lord to, like, really take that to heart. You know, like, God specifically chose to put that commandment in there. So I should probably, when I'm tempted to not forgive, like, I should think about how the Bible is very serious about it, you know. And I think we take things too lightly, because there have been so many buts. Like, well, this, like, explaining it away. You know what I mean? Which I'm not saying you were doing that. I'm just saying, I think that's a good rule. Like, if there's something that is a weighty scripture that makes it seem like, you know, there is a lot of judgment attached to that, or, and not out of fear, the bad kind of fear, but out of a good fear of the Lord, I
reverence,
guess. Reverence and honor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think that you're going to, if you are sowing into unforgiveness, you're going to reap from that.
Yes.
Here's something just come to me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not saying, that's not a conditional that, you know, in order to show me you love me, you know, by keeping my commandments, he's saying, because you love me,
you're going to
because the love you have for me, that love will produce you doing my commandment, obeying my commandments, you know, and that's, it's not anything that you're doing. It's because your love, you know, the love that's in you.
Yeah.
I do think, though, with the sowing and reaping, that could be the, that is the Lord's mercy in mm-hmm. his word, because it would further drive us to repentance.
Yeah.
Through the chastising of, okay, you sowed into this, so you're going to reap from it, and you're going to learn that when you withhold forgiveness, you're not going to receive forgiveness from people. Yeah. That it will, it's like a chastising that leads to
tribulation.
Repentance.
Tribulation brings repentance. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because we realize, okay, it, we can't continue, like, this isn't working if we continue to live like this.
Yeah. Yep. That's what you, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, you're fine.
What you was talking about earlier, we talked about something, I guess when we was talking about all the things we've been through, and I guess when we was talking about the Mary Did You Know conversation,
oh, yeah.
He was talking about when we was born again, and he was talking about, you know, the hard times, you know, but now when we look back through those hard times, you know, how we wouldn't trade them for nothing because of what they produced in us. You know, that's these trials, these tribulations that we go through, some self-inflicted, you know, from unforgiveness or whatever, or others just part of the process of being refined, you know, and being conformed to the image of the Son. You know, these things that were tried by fire, you know, that's they produce these works in us. You know, that's the Lord working in us, what's produced, we're so thankful and gratified.
What I was actually talking about was things that weren't in my control, like things that I, like, from childhood or things that really weren't in my control that I had to go through. And I remember thinking, man, I can't wait until this is over. Like, I can't wait until, I wonder what the future is going to be like. Like, I'm just ready for the future. Like, I want to skip past this part because this really stinks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to live in this anymore. But then I remember now looking back on that and remembering, like, how different my life is now and being so thankful to the Lord. And I think through that gratitude that it keeps your heart right, because I wasn't even thinking about this earlier, but the forgiveness conversation, I realized that through me being obedient and forgiving some of the, you know, the people who may have had a part to play in my, you know, my sufferings or my, you know, tribulations or whatever, that I realize now as an adult that I want to be forgiven whenever I mess up. You know, I may not be doing the same things that I went through, but I do other things.
Yeah.
And because the Lord can help me to forgive, I know that, you know, I'm receiving his forgiveness. I'm receiving his grace. And I pray and I hope that I receive forgiveness and grace from whenever I mess up, whenever I let down my kids one day in different areas, and or I let down my spouse or my friends, you know. And I think it just builds upon each other of what Aaron's talking about with the sowing and reaping.
Yep.
Even looking back and being grateful of where you've come, you know, that the Lord will just help. When we allow him to teach us things and put our mind in perspective of gratitude, and that it's not by anything we've done, but it's by his grace and his mercy that we've, you know, changed the course of our life on a better way, he'll help us to extend that same grace to the ones that hurt us, to the ones in our life, you know, to our family members when we get aggravated. He'll just help us to sow in that law of reciprocity, the sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
And when we realize what his word says is that the measure that you judge, you're going to be judged.
You'll be judged, yeah.
So that's kind of a one of those scary verses, too. Not the bad's kind of scary, but the good kind.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're about out of time for this morning. I don't know if I've got this out or not, but Gary Cox did get the answer right. How many days did God give Noah to prepare before the floodwaters came? After announcing he would send rain, 7 days.
7 days.
7 days. So, well, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So, congratulations there, getting your name into the drawing. Any final words, departing words for the day?
Yeah, I'd just like to just send a reminder out there to the men's meeting. Yeah, my brother's keeper up there at Clarkson Community Church there at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah, just come out and bring a friend, you know, bring a brother. This men come out, 16 and above. You know, we're just trying to build Christ amongst each other and let everybody know that they're not alone. If they're battling something, you know, lean on your brothers. That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And everybody leaning on each other is the body of Christ. So that's what we're trying to build, is the body of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, Miss Hannah? All righty. Well, we're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.